My name is Saul Cepeda. I'm politologist, jurist, and food writer. I'm based in Madrid. And my father, Luis Cepeda, who is also involved in the writing of this book we are going to talk about, is as well journalist and food critic. And he, in fact, was one of the pioneers of the food journalism here in Spain.
Why don't you tell me a bit about the book that you and your father are writing for the International Year in collaboration with FAO?
Okay, to mark the International Year, we were entrusted by FAO to write a book that expressed the importance of this food in the world. This book is to communicate the benefits of pulses. We don't want to drown the reader of this book with a wave of scientific data or statistics. The data, in fact, are there. Of course, we need it, but those data are simply presented and with illustrations, graphs, and tables. And our intention is to translate that information into understandable language for everyone. And to do this, we have developed a kind of international research with a lot of sources and conversations, interviews with chefs, and naturally, we had always the invaluable collaboration of FAO multidisciplinary teams and with the publishing department.
So basically, you're trying to inspire people to grow their love for pulses.
Well, yeah, of course, because we have a great nutritional challenge in this century. Hundreds of millions of cases of obesity. We have to contrast this with a greater number of people suffering from chronic hunger, and there are a lot of unhealthy diets and food waste. And I think pulses are a kind of solution for all of this, because pulses are a natural nutritional complex and packed with a lot of micronutrients and vitamins and minerals. So we can talk a lot of advantage of pulses in the nutritional level. But if we talk about the agricultural level, we can find a kind of plant that fixes the nitrogen in the soil, and we have a kind of food that is cheap and it's accessible for people. We have a lot of advantage, and we have to communicate that.
And in your research, what novel or quirky or interesting things have you learned about the way people use pulses in their cultures and diets?
Pulses are superfood that have this kind of secondary effect. I mean, there are a lot of methods worldwide to avoid the problems of flatulence with the consumption of pulses. And when you start to research in the gastronomy of different places, you start to discover that they use a lot of ingredients to avoid this. For instance, in the north of Africa, you find the cumin as a common spice. Use it for that, not only for the flavor, especially with the seed, the complete seed. In other places, you find the coriander, the dill, the epazote, licorice, fennel, ginger, citronella, peppermint, the nutmeg, the basil, the marjoram, oregano, things like that. And it's very, very curious.
You can add these spices to beans in order to reduce flatulence?
Yeah, you can do it. And there are also another methods that are only involved with the cooking. We have been in touch with a lot of chefs from different countries. Every chef has a title of pulse keeper, because we want them as a kind of representatives of this idea. We have been in contact with Ron Pikarski from the United States, and he is now one of the avant-garde chefs in organic food and a kind of a search of the perfect vegetarian diet. And he's trying to substitute in a country like the United States a big part of the meat-based diet with pulses. We have been also in contact with Abraham García here in Spain. He's very involved with the growing of pulses in the country. We have been also in touch with Moha Fedal in Morocco, who has been making very, very good work with chickpeas and other pulses. We have been in contact with Veronica Jackson from Tanzania. Tanzania is a very important country in Africa involving the production of pulses. We have been in contact with 10 chefs all over the world, representing every region.
I'm curious, I wonder, when you asked the chefs why they worked with pulses, did they have any kind of elaborate explanation as to their commitment to the pulse?
The word is nutrition and versatility. You can do a lot of things in the kitchen with pulses. And you can substitute a lot of meat protein with pulses. And you can also give a lot of flavors. And on the other hand, you have the nutritional values that are pretty important.
Are there particularly negative perceptions of pulses on the consumer side?
I think it's a kind of perception that pulses are a product for poor people. I mean, pulses are very important for poor countries because they are cheap and you can produce a lot of pulses. They're very nutritive and all of that. But pulses are also very important for diets in the developed countries to avoid the obesity and overfeeding and all the problems that we have in European Union and United States and all Western world. And I think there's a kind of a strange perception of pulses that it's completely wrong. I have been playing, for instance, a video game, and it's about the Mesolithic era. And when you are playing, you can feed yourself, but the diet is based only in meat. There are no gathering of plants, something completely wrong in anthropological terms. But I think this is the perception that we give about the plants. And I think this is a problem. In fact, if you check the WhatsApp or the Line or one of those chats, you will find there are no emoticons about pulses. You can find fruit, you can find a lot of vegetables, you can find meat, you can find potatoes, but you are not going to find a bean.
Interesting. I didn't even realize that, actually.
I think it's something about, how to say it, it's something under the radar, a subconscious mind that we have against pulses.
I'm actually just checking my phone now. There are absolutely no pulses. That's incredible. Thank you so much, Saul.
Thank you very much.